one year too soon with this new rule to say that kick returning is different now and not as many touchdowns or plays will be made? Is the sample size too small, or do you think that this is different as long as it's around?
What I would like to see the league do to make it make better sense for these returners as well, just as an example, we bring it from 7 yards out and he gets to the 20-yard line. It's a 27-yard return. Well, 27-yard returns are going to, you know, be behind the league. You know, 27, 30 yards, they're going to be behind the league. Yet you only got the ball at the 20-yard line, which you could have got by touching it down. And so it's distorted in a lot of players' minds about, you know, hey, I got to get that average, I got to get that average, I got to get that average. When ultimately in the game, it's about field position and where you put that ball in the field of play. So I think that's a little bit distorted in these facts and figures. And it's the decision-making of when to bring it and when not to. And there's a lot of things that go into that. It's not a matter of the ball's 7 yards deep, the ball's 8 yards deep. Who are you playing? What's the situation? Are you home or away? You say, why is that important? It's important. You know, when you're at home and you get the ball backed up, you got a chance. When you're away and you got the ball backed up and you watch it as the season progresses, it happens every year. I watch it tape after tape after tape. Is the crowd on that end zone is on your butt, and damn if we don't get a tackle, it jumps early. Now you got, you know, half, you know, distance there, five more there, whatever it occurs. So it is important whether it's home or away. How, what kind of kick is it? Is it a 3-0 hang time? Is it a 4-0 hang time? Is it a 3-5 hang time? And all those things enter into it, whether a guy brings it or not. And I thought that at times we did a good job of that last year, and I thought at times we did a bad job. And I have so much confidence where I got the guard against. I have so much confidence in Brandon. I let him make some of those decisions, which I no longer will let him make.
Coach Shanahan said yesterday.
Do you advise him on a kick-by-kick basis?
I do. And it's all, and it's off of a film. So you say, you know, that individual kick, how do you know? You know, we're timing all that stuff as it goes, but obviously he's not timing it as he's catching it. So we go in, and he and I have looked at, you know, the last four games or whatever it might be, and, hey, Brandon, this kid, when he kicks the ball in the middle of the field, you're going to get this time. And when he kicks it to your right, you're going to get this time. When he kicks it to the left, you're going to get this time. And there's a lot of things that enter into that. And so I'm gonna narrow that down for him a lot more, and it'll be more on me than on him.
Dizzying out there though for him. Does he just think, I just want to get it and go?
You know, I mean, all those playmaker guys like that. Guys, I mean, how many guys that run 4-3 don't want to run? You know, that's the name of their game. So he catching it anywhere. He don't give a damn. They can put it in the bleachers. He'll still try to bring it out if you let him. You know, I mean, it's just, I've never been around a fast guy that didn't want to run.
Coach Shanahan said yesterday that you guys were still working out the details of how you were going to handle the kicking battle in terms of who kicks when and what. Have you guys worked out those details?
Yes, we have.
can you share those with the group?
He told us that Cano is going
to. Don't tell me what he said, because I don't know. You guys try to trick people when you say he said, and I don't know what he said because I don't read that stuff, don't watch that stuff. And so I'm not assuming he said anything. Sure, you know, it's okay, said. Coach said, and he didn't say anything. So I don't do that stuff. Okay, but I'll tell you the kicking situation and what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. Okay, and nothing is the right way. Nothing is the right way or wrong way. You want to make it fair. You know, and you can do it a lot of different ways. You can do it by half. You can do it by every other kick. You can do it by game. But some of those things you don't control as the game goes on. So you come out of a game, you got two kicks, he got five kicks, and that's not fair. Okay? So what we've decided to do is Graham will start the game with the opening kickoff if we kick off. Okay? Graham will take the first PAT or the first field goal. Okay, whatever that is. And then that guy will also kick off. So it's some semblance of a game for him. You see, he's out on the field, he's you know, kicked the extra point or he's kicked the field goal. Now he's got to get his tee and he's got to go through his routine and go kick off. Then the next guy's up. Okay? So it's not every other kick. Now the bastard situation is to start the game. So Graham, if we kick off, we'll start the game. Okay? And he will take the first PAT and the next kickoff. Then Neil will be up. If we don't kick off and we receive it at the second, I mean, you know, we kick off at the second half, then we'll see how we ended that half. Of who starts that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, are you trying to make it equal to the same?
Yeah, and we'll just alternate that through, you know. So obviously it'll be based on the number of touchdowns we get or the number of field goals we attempt, you know, and things like that in those situations. So I'm trying to make it game-like for them. I'm trying to make it a routine for them, yet I don't want to make it every other kick.
But if you don't kick off at the start of the game, i.e. not your call, and then you get that second half kick, Graham still is first with
it will probably be Graham, but I'm going to leave that open to make a decision there based on how that first half was played through. But that guy that does kick that second half off, then you know, he would take the extra point or the field goal and the next kickoff.
How do you compare this training camp battle 2 years past?
this was a good battle. These are good players. These are good guys. You want to get a competitive guy. Neil Rackers is a very competitive guy. His career is showing that. It's hard to do that, you know. I mean, a lot of times guys just say, get a leg in here. I never been that kind of guy to just have a leg in there. And I'll tell you why. It's games like this when you get ready for a preseason. There's nothing worse than a kicker standing over there not doing a damn thing. There's nothing worse than a punter standing over there, a backup long snapper not doing shit. Okay, there's nothing. I hate it, okay? And by the same token, the running back coach, the tight end coach, they want another guy. Well, that same guy they want, I need too. That's the guy that's covering the kicks in the second half tomorrow night. That's the guy that's running down, and doing things for me the next night, in those preseason games. So this is a good battle, and I only like it when it's a battle. I don't like to just have a guy. It's my job to save their legs and organize how much they kick, when they kick, and things like that. Sav asked me today about Saturday's practice. I said, Saturday's practice, I'm trying to get 11 on the field tomorrow night, okay? I said, but I'll tell you. He said, will we punt on Saturday? Because these guys get in a routine. I said, Sav, I'll answer that question after the game. You're the only punter we got. It depends on the number of punts in the game. I'll make that decision after the game. If we punt a lot, probably not. If we don't punt a lot, probably will. And I'll tell you that after the game on the play.
Danny, if it's relatively
kicking, or do you have to wait until the games to see where they're progressing?
For the kickers, yeah. I mean, it's progressing good, but ultimately it's games. Ultimately it's game, and I think that's what separates everybody, and that's what's going to separate the guys who make this football team in other areas as well. And I always use the example with the mic is it's execution under pressure, and it's just the same thing. Everybody out there thinks they can do your job. Everybody out there thinks they can do my job, and they can in some instances, but it's execution under pressure. When you got to have a story, when you got to go on the air and do this right, when you got to do this, and I got to make that decision. We're all in that boat, and it's about the execution under pressure. So we're going to try to put them in those pressure situations and see who executes the best.
If it's relatively equal between the two kickers, say, after all the games, does Graham's experience with you guys count, I guess, for an extra check mark or no?
Well, I don't think so, and I don't mean that derogatory on Graham at all. My job is to get to know the other guy to feel comfortable with him too, and that's the advantage of having four preseason games. Obviously, I know Graham better. But my job is to get to know the other guy good too, because we got four games to do so. So it'll be, and you guys will know it too. I'm sure most of you will be able to pick it after four preseason games. It's going to be on production solely.
On paper, Graham.
Does
youth matter?
No, it doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't matter to me. I've had young guys that have been very successful. I've had older guys. And that's why we've been able to get young guys in here, over the years with the kicking and things like that, because of my track record. Like the guy we're going to play against, Brian Mormon. Brian Mormon started with us in Buffalo, and I was the one that got him there, and we went with him because he was talented. I don't care if he's young or old. If he can kick, we'll deal with it.
What's prevented, do you think? I mean, Graham had a 59-yard field goal. He's got all the leg strength and the tools. What's prevented him from becoming a guy you don't feel like you have to bring in competition to help?
Well, it's just a matter of consistency. I mean, it's in all of us. It's a matter of being consistent. It's just, day in and day out, you got to do it, and you got to be in pressure situations and see how you operate in those pressure situations. So it's just a matter of, because we do it for a couple of years doesn't mean, we have it. Even as a coach in this league, you get new coaches in this league and they got their first contract and they think they arrive. I don't think you arrive till you get another contract. That's just me. And I think it's the same with a kicker. So I treat it all the same. It's just a matter of being competitive and continuously being competitive and on top of your game. And I think the competition makes us all better.
With all the blocks last year.
I knew you'd come today.
when you went back and watched the film, what are some things that you came away from after watching those? Did you change anything? Is it more just about?
We had a lot of issues there, to be honest with you, and that's a positive thing. That was, hear me out. You say, how was that a positive thing? It was a positive thing that it wasn't one problem. It was here, then it was there, and it was there, and we kept sticking a finger in here, and it happened there, and we kept sticking our finger here. So it was a variety of issues, okay, which makes it, a little tougher as far as the correction of it, but yet it's not one specific thing. And ultimately, that's me. Ultimately, that's my fault. That's my job. That's my fault. That's my job. I take the blame for all of those situations. And we did have issues that we worked on and without pointing fingers and without being specific as far as different things. Ultimately, that's me.
How much does Kedrick who you lost in the Toronto, the Bills game in Toronto, and then a bunch of those blocks happened from kind of that area.
Helped you come back a lot. And you just answered the rest of the question, when you lose guys like that, as an example, okay, we're sitting in a meeting and we had a rookie long snapper a year ago playing on another team, and you know, I guess it was 2 years ago because you were a lot of cover to the center then. You know, now you're not a lot of cover. And we're sitting in a meeting, and I said, we need a guy that's going to blast this center. It's going to be his first game. It's the middle of the season. He has no reps in a pro, blah, blah, blah. We're going to try to shake him up and do this. I need the toughest son of a gun in here to do that. Everybody yells out Kedrick. So we did it with Kedrick. So obviously when his teammates feel like that, you know, kind of thing, my point is when you lose a guy like that, you lose a lot.
Kenny, how do you know when the problem's going to be fixed, though?
Oh, you don't know till you kick them. I mean, obviously, you stay on it and stay on it and stay on it. You know, I mean, you don't know until you go perform it, you know, kind of thing. I mean, we've worked very hard on it. We've recognized the issues. We've corrected the issues. The players have done a good job. We've put more time in it in OTAs than I ever have. We've put more time into practice in it, you know, than ever. So, I mean, you know, it better get fixed.
Was any part of it at all? I mean, the scheme that they run, the smaller linemen, maybe, does that have anything to do with it? I know other teams have the same issues, but
I told you, man, I can't go there.
With Lorenzo's weight loss, does that change his role in terms of coverage? Does it, because he's faster, do you put him in different spots now than you have, or does it give you any more flexibility?
You have to put Lorenzo. It doesn't give us any more flexibility because Lorenzo, you know, the difference on special teams is when you have big speed. You know, speed kills on special teams, but small speed can get gashed. Big speed don't get gashed. You can get block a big guy, but you don't move big guys. You know what I mean? You can block a small, fast guy, and you can move them to create space on teams. That's why Lorenzo's so special. So, no, we don't have a different role or anything like that. My job for Lorenzo is to protect Lorenzo, and I don't mean protect him from different things happening, is to put him in situations to be successful, and is to put him in. He's always the pinpoint of every team we play. He's the guy getting doubled. He's the guy getting trapped. He's the guy getting wedged on. He's the guy. He gets everything. So he and I meet a lot on those things, and it's my job to keep moving him, keep helping him. You know, we can't just line him up in a position and let him go, and they don't know exactly where he's at every down. So those kind of things you'll see, you know, him moving all over the place, and it's not having nothing to do with his weight, you know, gain, loss, or anything like that. It's a matter of me trying to set him free, and people can't load up on him.
Danny, in a similar vein, you get Niles putting on weight. He was so valuable to you guys as a gunner last year. Any worries about him losing?
I don't have any worries. Now, Niles Paul is a man. I'm going to tell you, he's a man. And Niles could do anything. I mean, Niles could be a gunner. Niles could be a returner. Niles could be a hold-up guy. Niles could be a cover guy. Niles is a man. He's a grown man out there.
Have you seen enough at this point from Terrence Austin to have a good read on whether or not he could be a quality returner for a while in the league?
I like Terrence a lot. You know, and he's a factor. He's in the mix. You know, we're going to give him an opportunity in the preseason and see. You know, I mean, here's a guy comes to work every day, makes plays every day. You know, I mean, I love Terrence Austin, and he is definitely in the mix on everything.
Danny, one question about kickers. Generally speaking, are they made or are they
made? You know, Dan, that's a great question. You know, I mean, I'd like to say, you know, that they're probably made, you know, in a sense, you know, guys got it or don't got it. You can tweak this, tweak that, you know, and help them in different situations. But, you know, you've been doing this a long time, and some of the laziest guys are some of the best guys because they got it. You know, I'm not going to mention no names, but there's certain people in the league that have that reputation. But when you go to have a 30-yarder to win a game, you want that guy out there, and he hadn't even been in the building all week, you know, kind of thing. So from that standpoint, you know, I would say that they're made, you know. It's it's tough. I mean, it's hard, and it's a hard position to play. So I would lean on the made side, you know. I mean, guys got it or they don't. I think you can help them along the way. The problems I have with guys is right away they want to change. You know, you change from here, change to there. And something that I would suggest that you watch when you watch guys, if you got a guy that misses to the right, I'd rather he always miss to the right when we got one issue. A lot of times in young guys, he misses to the right and then he's wide left. Now we're working in that big of an issue. So I always, that next kick after that is very important to me about where he's at. Does that make sense?
to hit a fade or a hook?
I'm not a golfer. They tell me that, you know. I mean, I don't know nothing about golf. I go with you and get the hot dogs and have fun and stuff like that, but you ain't getting no strokes from me because I can't no damn good.
Danny, just in your opinion, is there any way to gauge how many games are mostly or sometimes exclusively decided in terms of win difference by special teams? The whole package, like, you know, can you quantify 2 to 3 wins per year? Or?
I mean, it's several games, in my opinion, and I'll tell you why. If you look at the, you know, wins and losses in the National Football League, and obviously turnover ratio is big, okay? And you talk about sacks, you know, being big and lost yardage plays and stuff like that being big. And you'd have to probably put in the top three field position. You know, field position determines the outcome of the games. And when you're talking about special teams, you're talking about more field position than any other play because it covers so much field position. So I say it's a very much a determining factor, you know, about, you know, where do we set the ball for the defense when we're up by 3 and they're on their last drive? You know, what did the punter do and what did the coverage team do in that respect? You know, we go ahead with a field goal late in the game and now we kick off. Where did we set the ball for the defense in that? We're behind by 3 and we're getting a punt. Where did we deliver the ball to the offense on that return? I'd say it's a big determining factor. I don't know about a number on it. You know, I play it as 16, you know, because that's my job. But I'd say the number would be high.